It is the 2nd of August 2017. This is episode 24 of the podcast. And today I'm following on from yesterday's topic about Africa and technology with a discussion a bit about mobile money in Africa, which I think has been one of the big tech wins for Africa from a global perspective. And what I want to do by kicking off this episode first is to talk about traditional banking and its situation in Africa. So let us start off by taking a look at a World Bank report, which looks at financial inclusion across different regions in the world. And in this report, it uses two sets of data. It takes from its original report of 2011 and compares it with data from 2014. Now, in this report, what I think was quite interesting was to take a look at, first of all, the number of accounts. So what they're looking at is age of 15 and above, what percentage of that population group has an account. And in sub-Saharan Africa, that was 34.2%. But that is including mobile money accounts as well as traditional banking accounts. So if we take a look at an account in terms of accounts at financial institution, in 2011, the accounts, the percentage of the population 15 and above that had an account with a financial institution was 23.9%. And in 2014, it was 28.9%. So 5% growth, not huge from that perspective in terms of, moving from 2011 to 2014. When you look at some of the other regions in the world, it's kind of interesting to note. So like, for example, East Asia and Pacific region went from 55.1% in 2011 to 68.8% in 2014. And in fact, Africa, or sub-Saharan Africa, has the lowest percentage of the population 15 and above with an account with a financial institution, the lowest only being Middle East after sub-Saharan Africa. So there, their numbers are sitting at 10.9 in 2011 and 14% in 2014. So you can see how, mobile banking has a huge impact in sub-Saharan Africa. The other interesting indicator for me was debit cards. So debit card purchases, if you take a look, we are sitting at 15% in 2011 and 17.9% in sub-Saharan Africa for 2014. That's for the population, again, ages 15 and above. The other thing that I wanted to take a look at was the times that they had used their internet banking to pay for bills. So like utility bills and things like that. And what was interesting is that sat at 2.4%. So you can start to see when you look at traditional banking, if you want to call it that, in Africa, that we are still a long way behind what some of the more developed economies in the world have. And it's an interesting thing which we need to look at, and possibly why mobile money has had such great success. We'll talk about one example of that shortly. By far the most well-known money service or mobile money service in Africa has to be M-Pesa. M-Pesa was launched in 2007 by Safaricom, and it's the last I checked, mobile money services in East Africa represented over half of all mobile money transactions taking effect in sub-Saharan Africa. So it shows just how critical the service has been in that area. And in fact, I'll link in the show notes to an article or report by CNN on the mobile money service that highlights some interesting numbers. For example, 18 million active users in Kenya for a service which launched in only 2007, that's not bad, and having 614 million M-Pesa transactions during December 2016. So you can see the scale of this product and its impact in that market. But the question is, what made M-Pesa so successful in Kenya? Because let's not forget that M-Pesa there's been attempts to try and export M-Pesa into other markets, and it has failed. So in South Africa, twice, M-Pesa has tried to kind of catch, be deployed in South Africa, and it really hasn't succeeded. And I think a lot of that has to do with the fact that in South Africa, the banks adopted technology in quite a big way and have had possibly one of the better infrastructure deployments across the country, etc., compared to other African markets. But that, doesn't mean that there isn't a place for mobile money services. It's just, I think, the way that M-Pesa operates in South Africa and the regulatory environment for banking in South Africa just did not lend itself well to M-Pesa. And in fact, in both occasions, the Vodacom had to partner with banks to provide the infrastructure. Now, what's interesting is if you look at Kenya, I mentioned to you how few, I think it was less than 3% of people pay for services in sub-Saharan Africa through internet banking. Well, in Kenya, you can pay for your water and lights, for your power, for your DSTV. All of these kind of services are easily paid for through your mobile money services. And in fact, I think the GSMA has a report out which speaks about this as well. I don't have it easily on hand at the moment, but I think it highlighted, just how much of water and sanitation is paid for. Yeah, here we go. 1 billion Tanzanian shillings per month is collected by the Dar es Salaam Water and Sewage Corporation in 2013, increasing their revenue by 38% using mobile money services. It highlighted over, how many people purchased energy and paid for school registrations in Cote d'Ivoire. And so you've got a whole range of services that mobile money in markets where it's seen a strong adoption, you can pay for many, many things, and it replaces your traditional bank, essentially. If you're in a developed market where you use your bank to pay for so many different services, think about being able to just do that through dialing a USSD code, star whatever hash on your mobile phone and going through the process. But the question is, what is the next step? Has mobile money kind of lost its traction in Africa? So in the same CNN report that I mentioned, which again I'll link to in the show notes on tristandhall.co.za, there is an interview with Safaricom CEO Bob Collymore about the fact that M-Pesa is not an easy service to use in a hurry. And so they're looking at expanding the service and making it more user-friendly through mobile app, through issuing of an NFC-enabled tap-to-pay card that can be linked to it. There's a couple of things that they're looking to try and expand and diversify. And I think, for example, any company, mobile manufacturer coming into Africa with a mobile payment solution, like Android Pay, Apple Pay, Samsung Pay, etc., needs to seriously consider how they would integrate mobile money services into their platform. But in reality, the question is, has the innovation in the mobile money space maybe stalled a little bit? Is it looking too much towards traditional ways of doing banking again now to try and ease the consumer experience? And that's an interesting question. I don't exactly have the answers to it, but I do kind of feel like definitely we're not going to see a loss in the traction. But the question is, has the innovation started to slow down perhaps a little bit in this space? And that I'm not 100% certain I have all the answers to right now, or that I ever will have it. I don't claim to be kind of an expert in this field, but it's just something that I've questioned and started to ask myself. We've seen how mobile money can lift people out of poor economic situations. We can see how small businesses have benefited from it. And does there, excuse the background noise, need to be more innovation in the space? I'd love to hear what your thoughts are on the topic. Have you used a mobile money service? Have you, you know, if so, what was your experience like? What things attract you to it? What things don't attract you to it? You can phone into the station through the Anchor app and leave a call in on the station. I'd really appreciate to hear from you. Alternatively, you can go to tristandhall.co.za and leave a comment in the show notes for this episode. You can also send me a tweet at Tristan D. Hall. Find me on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram. And of course, you can subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on or Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn Radio, and Pocket Casts as well. So great to chat to you guys about this. As I said, love to hear your feedback. Hope to catch up with you guys tomorrow. Cheers.